The Lord, that's good singing. We do appreciate that. It is with joy that we are able to welcome our brother. I'm going to give him his full title, Mr. John Weir. Our brother John, he's very welcome to Cumber Free Presbyterian Church. I take it this is the first time you've been here, John, is it? Okay, first time, so I want to give you a very warm welcome. We know that he has with him his mum and dad, and he has with him his sister and his brother-in-law. I'm not sure if there are any other members of the family circle, but if there are, then you're all very welcome. I know that you've gathered out with him just to keep him right, you know, just to make sure he's giving the right testimony. As a man arrived at a meeting one time, I think it was up in George Bates's Hall, in the People's Hall in Randallstown, and just as he walked in through the door, one of the elders met him and says, "Brother, we're glad to see you." And he started to go like that, and he says, "You won't believe this, I've lost my testimony." That's before he even gave it. What he meant was he lost the notes, but this man doesn't need any notes. I think this is the first time in my life I'm about to lower the microphone for a speaker coming after me. See, John? No, I'm only joking. Usually goes up there, but it's down here now. Now, I could tell you many stories about this man, but I'm not going to. But I'll tell you one. Two. We're out on outreach on Friday, and he certainly is an inspiration. That's all I can tell you. He's as bold as a lion. And I thought I was bold, but he's even bolder. And he challenges everybody he meets. I'm not joking. And there's people working, people from Newry, don't know who they were, mostly Roman Catholics and others. And he's engaging them with in conversation. He's a tremendous way with people. And I felt really embarrassed because I felt I couldn't engage people that way. But he's a good way with him, and we had a blessed time. We went up to McKee's farm shop, and Colin looked after us, that's all I can say. And as we're sitting there, there are two people walking by. One of them I knew from Green's store in Lurgan. And they came over to the table, we got chatting, and I introduced John to the two of them. It was a mother and daughter, and the lady, the mother, was 82 years of age. And she put her hand on John's shoulder and started talking to him. And all of a sudden, she was really taken with him. And then she said these words at the table. She says, "He's handsome, isn't he?" And my first thoughts were, "But you need to go to Specsavers." "Nah, I'm only joking. She didn't even have her glasses on. And I was thinking to myself, "Do you not mean me?" She didn't even pay me a compliment. But here, if you think that was a compliment, we'll hear what she said next. She said to her daughter, "If I was 10 years younger, but 72, she says, I'd marry him." So that certainly took the wind out of his sails, and he was able to have a good witness to many people, even in the restaurant. John, you're very welcome, and we trust the Lord will bless you now. Amen. As you come and share your testimony.
Oh, God, thank you. Thank you. Evening, everybody. That was some introduction, wasn't it? Surprised he's let me in the night, being from the Donegal Road, and the family. Had the laugh, I was in Ballyclare a few years ago doing a harvest service, and there's a wee fella, he was only 7, he was telling me all about his tractors. And I said to the wee fella, "What type of tractors do we have on the Donegal Road in Belfast?" As quick as anything, he said, "Stolen ones." So there's maybe a few stolen tractors about Cumber. But after a reputation goes before us. But it's really lovely to be with you tonight. I do want to thank the Reverend Martin for the invite just to come and to share a personal word of testimony. It's always a privilege to share what the Lord has done in your life. And want to thank our brother Jonathan for his ministry in song. Let's have no distractions now, if possible, as we turn to the Word of God. If you have a Bible, would you turn to 2 Corinthians, please, in chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll read at the verse number 14. It's always so important that we read the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and reading at verse number 14. Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, says this: "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21 to close, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We'll stop there, and may the Lord as always add a blessing to the reading and to the preaching of his precious word. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, settle our hearts now for these next few minutes as we share a word of testimony and weave in the gospel message. Lord, I need help this evening. I pray that you will come now and give me power, give me liberty, bring all things to my remembrance. But above all, we pray that your lovely name might be glorified. Thank you for Jonathan. Thank you for his ministry. And we do pray for our dear brother that you would continue to bless him as he travels from place to place. Lord, save souls tonight. Restore the backslider and revive your people. And be so careful to give you all of the glory. For we ask these things in your lovely name. Amen. Folks, it's verse number 17 tonight I want to leave with you as I share a personal word of testimony. Look at verse number 17 again. Paul here states, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You see, when a man accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he gets a brand new life. He gets a new longing. Everything is completely new. When a man gets saved, he gets a new father. He gets a new family. He also gets new friends. His company is changed, and his character is changed. He now has a love for God. He's a love for the Bible. He's a love for the prayer meetings, and even a love for his enemies. His temper, his tongue, his temptations are changed. He is a new creation. It's what the Bible calls being born again. And I can honestly say tonight that being born again of the Spirit of God is the greatest thing in the world. And that's the requirement to be in heaven. And I would say that every man, every woman, every young person in this church tonight and listening online wants to be in the kingdom of God. And Jesus told Nicodemus, a religious man, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Or as the Greek New Testament puts it, you must be born from above. I trust tonight that you know for sure that you are born again of God's Spirit. Well, as you know now, my name's John Weir, and I live in the Donegal Road area of Belfast. And from a young age, growing up beside Windsor Park, as you can imagine, my life was very much dominated by football. And I had the privilege as a young lad of joining St Andrews Boys Club, who were the sort of top youth football team in Northern Ireland during the 1990s. So if you played for St Andrews Boys Club, you had a good chance of getting scouted to go across to different clubs in England and Scotland. And that's what happened to me. And at 16, I was just about to sign for Chelsea. They were my team when I was younger. Chelsea had a wonderful player. He was small, like myself. He was an Italian. He was called Gianfranco Zola. And to be asked at 16 to sign for Chelsea, this was a wonderful dream come true. But just as I was about to sign the contract at Chelsea, disaster struck. I hurt my knee, and I had to come home from London. And I was absolutely gutted, as you can imagine. I recovered from that particular injury, went on to be the captain of the Northern Ireland Youth International Team at Joint Linfield at this stage, was just breaking into the Linfield first team squad, and at 19, disaster struck again. I hurt my knee in a bad way, and I had to stop playing football completely. My friends at that time, Stephen Davis, Chris Brunt, I'm sure who you will know, were playing in the Premier League now, earning thousands of pounds. And here's me, at 19, unable to do the thing that I dreamed about and the thing that I loved. But friends, looking back now as a Christian, I can see that God had a completely different plan for my life. Can I tell you tonight, God has a plan for your life. And it's only when you fall in love with Jesus Christ do you realize what that plan is. God told the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 1 and verse 5, "Listen, Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." You see, folks, I was chasing after the things of this world and never thought about them so. Sadly, never thought about eternity. Can I say tonight that your soul is the most valuable thing that you have? And as I travel the province now sharing the gospel, I meet so many, and they're selling their soul for the drink. Maybe this is you tonight. They're selling their soul for the drugs. They're selling their soul for the ungodly friends, for the partying scene, for the immoral living, even what their friends will think of them. The Bible reminds us there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I was even just thinking this week, you know, hell is going to be full of people that knew the gospel, especially from Northern Ireland. Churches everywhere, mission halls everywhere. This wee nation has had the cream of gospel preachers. But hell is going to be full of people, especially from Northern Ireland. Hell is going to be full of people who went to Sunday school, who had a good Christian upbringing, who sat in gospel meetings, who sat in gospel missions, but they carried on living their lives without the Savior. And I always say when preaching the gospel that hell is going to be worst of all for those that had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home, because they had that privilege. Godly mother, maybe this is you tonight, you're a godly mother, godly father, godly grandparents, and they're praying for you. Friend, listen tonight, don't die in your sin without the Savior, because hell will be worst of all for you. Jeremiah 20, we're reminded that the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. I'm so thankful tonight I'm here in Cumber Free Presbyterian Church giving a word of testimony that on my way to hell, living an ungodly life, and sadly growing up, I had no Christian influence whatsoever. No Christians in my immediate family, no Christians really. My mom's side of the family, my dad's side of the family. Before I became a Christian, sadly, I was never in a Sunday school. I didn't even own a Bible. I couldn't even have told you one Bible verse. But deep down in my heart, I still believed in God. When I looked at the stars at night and the birds and the trees and the wonders of creation, I knew that there had to be a God. At 19 years of age, my life hit a real low point. Things were going on within my family. And I remember getting onto my knees in my bedroom and crying unto God from the depths of my heart, asking the Lord to help me and to help my family. E.M. Barnes is a great author in prayer, and he said there's prayers, but then there's desperate prayers. You ever been there in your life? Maybe you've come into this church tonight and you're desperate for your life to be changed. That was me. And again, Jeremiah 29:13, God tells the prophet, "Listen, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart." That was me in that bedroom crying out to God, "If you're real, will you help me? Will you help my family?" Amazing the way the Lord plans things. At that particular time, my mother was working with a lovely Christian lady in the Belfast City Hospital called Peggy Reardon. Peggy Reardon said to my mother, "June, I'm praying for your family." That wee lady planted a seed. Can I encourage the Christian people here tonight, even this week, plant a wee seed with somebody. Share your testimony. Give somebody a little track. Invite somebody to come even to the services in the church here coming up to Christmas. Keep planting seeds. That wee lady planted a seed. And she told my mother that she was praying for our family. That same night I cried unto the Lord in my bedroom. I knew I had to go to Peggy's church. Never been in a gospel meeting before. Hardly ever been in church before, but I knew that night I had to go. You see, what was it? It was the Spirit of God drawing me. Can I say tonight, you're not here by accident. Maybe somebody is praying for you to be saved. Somebody has invited you to come tonight. Maybe you see them as a nuisance, but they care for your soul. They want to see you in heaven. Don't want to see you lost. And that wee lady prayed for us. And that night, I got directions off the internet. I went to Peggy's church and I heard the simple message of the gospel for the very first time. The preacher read from Isaiah 53. You know these verses well, Isaiah 53, verse 5. But just for a wee minute, picture the Saviour today on the middle cross. Can you see him? Picture him. Dying for you. Dying for me. Every one of your sins. Every one of my sins. And Isaiah gets the vision, doesn't he? 750 years before it happened. Picture it. But he was wounded for our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah pens, we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And men and women that night, listen, I realized Jesus died for me. He died for me. And you know what I experienced that night? Have you ever experienced it? Conviction of sin. I knew that night I couldn't leave the church until I get right with the Lord. Conviction of sin. Can I say tonight, if there's any trouble in your heart tonight, if there's any concern for your soul, that's been created by the Holy Spirit. And you've got to get right with the Lord tonight. I knew I couldn't leave that church that night until I got on my knees and asked the Lord to save me. And it's lovely, we've been singing the old-fashioned gospel hymns tonight. I love these old hymns. And I remember that night singing a hymn written by Philip Bliss, and it was this. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners. You see, that was me. I was a ruined sinner. To reclaim, hallelujah, what a Saviour. Philip Bliss penned, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, oh, what a Saviour. I'm not ashamed to tell this congregation tonight that I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of my heart. What about you? You love him? Are you in love with him? Do you take your stand for him? Do people know that you're saved? Your workplace? Young people in your school? In your college? In your university? In the street that you live? Do people know that you love him? People know that you belong to him? Oh, again, that God would raise up a generation of men and women and young people that love him and are not ashamed of him. I remember the next day then, going to the Faith Mission bookshop in Belfast to buy a Bible, as I didn't have a Bible, and couldn't wait then to start going to the prayer meetings. Nobody had to tell me to be at the prayer meeting. I trust you're at the prayer meeting here in the local fellowship, or whatever church you belong to, I trust you're at the prayer meeting. Oh, again, that God's people would get a burden to pray. Couldn't wait to go to the prayer meeting. Couldn't wait to go to the Bible study. Couldn't wait to tell everybody about this man that had changed my life. We often sing it, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Started praying for my family. Started going out walking the roads on my own because I didn't have anybody. But you know what the Lord did? He brought good, godly people across my path that encouraged me. Some of them are in the glory tonight, and I thank God for them every day. Old men, old women that saw a new convert. Young lad just on his own, but they got alongside me. Encourage the new converts here in the church. Pray for them. Started praying for my mother. My mother started coming to church with me. My mother's from a wee place called Sandy Row. You all heard of the Sandy Row in Belfast? We'll give you a tour sometime of the Sandy Row. But my mum went to Sunday school. Alderman's Duff Free Presbyterian Church Sunday School there beside Reed's Shoe Shop. I'm sure some of you know where that is in Sandy. My mum went there as a young girl. But sadly, as she got older, she drifted out into the world. But she saw the change in my life. She started coming to church with me. Do you know what really spoke to her? The death of her mother and the death of her sister, both within a year. And as she saw those coffins going down into the ground, she started to think, if that was me, where would I be in eternity? Do you ever think like that when you go to a funeral service? Stand around the open grave, maybe you've experienced this lately, or even death in your family, it makes you think. C.H. Spurgeon said, 6 feet of dirt makes all men equal. It's the truth. My mother, she saw those coffins going down into the ground. She started to think, if that was me in that box, where would I be in eternity? She wasn't right with the Lord. She came to church with me, and around 12 years ago, she gave her heart to the Lord. Oh, what a change in her life. It's been wonderful. And within weeks, the desire for cigarettes left, the desire for alcohol left, and it's wonderful to see how the Lord is using her now in the Belfast City Hospital. Then we started praying for my dad. And my dad was just a man of the world, really. He worked hard, Monday to Friday. Then he was out at the weekends, hungover on a Sunday. The same thing happened week after week. Maybe that's your life. Maybe that's the life you're currently living. That was him. But I used to leave little gospel tracks, you know, the way you do to reach your loved ones. And I left a little gospel track in the kitchen, and my dad read it. What was it about? The Lord's return. As my dad read that little gospel track, he couldn't sleep. Again, conviction of sin. 3 days, 3 nights, couldn't eat, couldn't settle, couldn't do anything. Because he knew, listen, he knew if the Lord returned, he wasn't ready. What about you? Are you ready for the Lord's return? People are asking, what's going on in our world? Read your Bible. He's coming soon. Do you believe it? I believe it with all of my heart. This is how I personally live my life, believing that any time the Lord could return. And my dad knew he wasn't ready. If the Lord came tonight, wouldn't it be sad if there was somebody in this church and you were left behind? And my dad was driving the car down the Ravenhill Road, just up from the Martyrs Church, Cherryville Plain Fields. I'm sure some of you know where that is. He pulled the car into Cherryville Plain Fields. You know what he cried from his heart? God save me. God be merciful to me, a sinner, with the tears coming down his cheeks. And there and then, on the Ravenhill Road, he was wonderfully saved. And to see the change in his life, a man of the world, oh, changed by the Lord. This is what the Lord can do. And it's wonderful now to see both my parents there serving the Lord in the Belfast City Hospital. I don't think they do much work in the hospital, to be honest with you. They're always working and witnessing for the Lord. My dad's in the cancer center there, maybe somebody coming to the end of their lives. And my dad's in maybe changing a light. He's in the maintenance team, changing a light, fixing a plug, something like that. He gets opportunities to witness. You ever been with somebody when they're dying? The cancer center? In the Royal? In the city? People in the end of their lives, and they're going out into the great eternity. Start to panic. Where am I going? Wasted my life. Haven't done anything for the Lord. Maybe this is you. And it's wonderful that my dad can talk to these individuals. You ever been with a lovely Christian and they're dying in the hospital? Makes all the difference when they're saved, doesn't it? Have a testimony. They know they're going home. Christian doesn't pass away. A Christian goes home to be with Christ, which is far better. And then my sister then, we started praying for her. It's lovely to see them here tonight. And we started praying for Michelle. She's going through a difficult time in her life, and she sought the Lord around maybe 10, 11 years ago now. And it's wonderful to see how the Lord has blessed her and her wee family. David there down in Port of Ogie. And all her three children have professed salvation. They attend the Free Presbyterian Church down there in Port of Ogie, and the Lord is blessing them. And it's just wonderful what the Lord has done in our family. We give them all the glory. And then my two aunts then, we started praying for them, and I was doing a little gospel mission in Finicky a few years ago. And my two aunts stayed behind one night, and they both sought the Lord as well. So an entire family changed by the Savior. And 8 years ago, I gave up my job to go out and do the work of the evangelist. There was a lady down in the hospital. I couldn't get to see her because I was working in the secondary school at that time. I said, Lord, that'll not happen again. If there's a lady down in the hospital wants to see me, I'll be there. And that's what I've done this past 8 years, just traveled the country with one objective, to see people getting saved. That's all I think about. It's all I love doing. Just live by faith. And different places have asked me to join them, but I just love having the freedom to go and preach the gospel, to go out around the doors, tent missions, mission halls, different churches, preaching the gospel message that has changed my life and has changed my family. Can I encourage you tonight, keep praying for your loved ones. Maybe you have a son tonight not saved, a daughter tonight not saved, maybe a husband, maybe a wife. Keep praying for them. God has 1,000 ways to answer every prayer, doesn't he? He works in so many different ways. And after I became a Christian, I used to spend a lot of time in Dublin. Used to go down to O'Connell Street with a few men out of the Gospel Hall, and oh, that was a wonderful time in the streets of Dublin. And I used to meet many men down there that had been in Mountjoy Prison. I was going to say, anybody heard of Mountjoy Prison, or anybody been in Mountjoy Prison? But I used to meet a lot of men that had been in Mountjoy Prison and committed all sorts of crimes, but you know, it was just wonderful to be able to share the gospel with those men. Just to tell them that the Savior loves them, died for them. See the tears coming down their cheeks. Even when we were in McGilligan jail there a few weeks ago, speaking to the prisoners up there. And you know, what a wonderful time. And the governor said, he says, anytime you want to come back for a mission, you're very, very welcome. He's going to say, hands up, who wants to come with me for a mission? But it was wonderful. It was wonderful. It's amazing the opportunities the Lord gives you when you're willing. An old preacher told me, when God sees the sacrifice, then he'll send the fire. Isn't that good? God can get the hold of a man that's yielded. A woman that's yielded. A young person that's yielded. Isn't it amazing what the Lord can do? Is there somebody in the church tonight and you feel the call of God in your life to serve the Lord? Why not go and serve him? Give him every part of your life. And you see, when you stand before him on that great day, you'll not be ashamed. Do you ever think about the first conversation you're going to have with Jesus Christ? What's he going to say to you? What are you going to say to him? That first conversation when you look into his lovely face. I would love the Lord to say to me, John, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thy into the joy of the Lord. Wouldn't it be awful sad if he said to you, depart from me, I never knew you. Or even to stand at the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. If your name's not in the book of life, you're cast into the lake of fire. What an awful place to be. Friend, is your name in the book of life tonight? You personally? Not the person sitting beside you, just you. Is your name in the book of life? I thank God I can look back to that night. As a young man of 19 when I put my faith and trust in the Savior. And I stand here tonight, a sinner saved by his matchless grace. Even, dear Christian tonight, are you fulfilling the will of God for your life? God has given us all a gift and a talent and ability. We can all do something. Fanny Crosby, we sang some of her hymns tonight. She was blind, wasn't she? But she wrote over 8,000 hymns. D.L. Moody worked in a shoe store. Amy Carmichael suffered from a disease of her nervous system but was used in India in a mighty way. Gladys Aylward was rejected by some of the missionary societies, but she went to China anyway and served the Lord. I'm hungry for a move of God in these days. Son, we saw a glimpse of the Lord working at some of the recent missions. But oh, that the Lord again would visit this wee province with revival. I prayed it earlier, maybe he'll start here in this local church. Wouldn't it be wonderful? We need a move of God. Souls are perishing. I want the Lord to move in a wonderful way. Evan Roberts prayed in the Welsh revival, Lord, bend me and break. Could you pray that? Lord, here's my life. I will give it over to you completely. That's just a wee bit about me. What the Lord has done. And in our family. He's wonderful. Isn't the Lord here tonight? Every eye's on me. You can sense the quietness in this church. The Spirit of God is here. God said, my Spirit not always strive with man. Genesis 6 and 3. And I believe there's individuals in here tonight and you know you need to get right with the Lord. You've maybe put it off for years. What's the greatest journey in life? From your head to your heart. That's the greatest journey in life. And I believe there's people listening tonight and you have it all up here. You know you should be saved. You know you need to get right with the Lord, but it hasn't come to your heart yet. Friend, I pray that you'll make the step and you get right with the Lord. Thank you for listening. We'll finish with that text, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Maybe you're here tonight and your life is a bit of a mess. Maybe you're here and you're burdened. Maybe here and you're a backslider. Friends, stay behind and talk to us. Come to the foot of the old rugged cross. And put your trust in the Lord. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, listen, shall be saved. Shall be saved. Finish with this. Remember, as a new Christian, I was so keen to get to every meeting that I could. And I remember one particular meeting, there was an American preacher. He gave an illustration about
the Titanic Museum in America. Apparently there's a Titanic Museum in America. And he said, you go to this Titanic Museum. You pay your money at the start. You get a name of a passenger that was on the Titanic. Over 2,000. He says, you go around all the displays in this Titanic Museum somewhere in America. He says, you get to the end of the museum. There's a massive big board with all the names of the passengers that were on the Titanic that night it sank. And they were just divided into two columns, the saved and the lost. And you looked at the bit of paper of the name that you got when you paid your money after going through the museum to see whether the person was saved or lost. And I wonder as a close, good crowd in here tonight, all our names now go onto this big screen. Just into those two columns. The saved and the lost. That's all there is in the church tonight. And your name now is on that screen. My name. Everybody's name is projected onto this big screen. What column is your name in? Right now. Up in that gallery. In the ground floor. The sides. Either saved or lost. You can see your name in that lost column. Friend, get right with the Lord tonight and you can be saved. Come to the cross. He hung and he bled and he died there for you. And that night when I got saved, I realized that he died there for me. And you see, when it becomes personal, it changes everything. You don't have to leave the church lost. Because God has brought you here to save you. And you can join us in heaven. Thank you for listening. May God bless these few simple thoughts to all of our hearts. It's wonderful to know the Lord. And you can know him too. As Stuart Hamlin penned, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. He's here. And he gave us that promise with the two or three are gathered together. Many. He says, I'm in the midst. Maybe even you're cold. You're not serving the Lord the way you used to. Say, Lord, from tonight, things are going to be different. Let's pray. Lord, we believe you're here tonight and you're speaking. Lord, I thank you for the day and hour you saved a wretch like me and transformed my family. Hymn writer said, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Lord, for that individual that's lost tonight, and if their name went up on that screen, they know that they're in that lost column. Lord, I pray that they'll not leave the church until they get right with you. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, Lord, set us on fire tonight. Help us not just to live an ordinary Christian life. Lord, set us on fire. Fill us with your Spirit to go out and reach a dying world. Lord, we're hungry for revival. We're hungry for a move of God in our day and generation. And I pray, Lord, you would even start something here in Cumber that might impact our nation. Bless your servant now as he closes the meeting. For that soul that's troubled. Lord, don't let them leave till they get right with you. In your name we pray. Amen. Can I just say before I hand back to the Reverend Martin, I'll be standing there at the door. I have some of these little books with me. I designed them for all the drive-ins we were doing. Just entitled Be In Time. My telephone number's on the back. If you're not a Christian tonight, maybe you've drifted away from the Lord, if we'd help you in any way, do ask us for a little booklet and even give us a ring. We'll come to your home even after the meeting. Do anything that we can to help you. We're doing meetings there at the Iron Hall in East Belfast. Our wee lady read that book 3 times and she didn't even come to the mission. But she read the wee book 3 times. Wee lady in her 70s and she sought the Lord. Be in time. None of us knows what's round the corner. I was involved in a car accident there this afternoon. I could have been out in eternity. Could have been out in eternity, but I'm here tonight. God has spared me. And maybe I'm just here to share my story, maybe just for one individual here. It'd be worth it all if this simple word of testimony touched your heart tonight. But I could have been out in eternity. Mightn't have been even here to give my testimony this evening. But it's wonderful to know that you're ready. And you can put your head in the pillow and know it's well with your soul. Thank you, Reverend Martin.
269, just before we close our meeting. The ladies are making their way over. If not, they've already gone. Some of them have left, gone over to the church hall to prepare supper for you. And I want to say that there's tables spread. There's room for every single person. And if you would like to stay, it doesn't matter if everybody stays, there's still room and there's enough and to spare. So we want you to stay for a little bit of fellowship afterward. So please don't be in a hurry home. Make your way across to the church hall. Doesn't matter whether you're a regular or a visitor here in the house. You make your way across to the church hall and the tables are spread. You can sit anywhere. No seats are kept as such. And we will join you. I think there is a practice for the mixed choir market after. So that'll be just a brief practice for the mixed choir here in the church. And you'll still get your supper as well. The tables will be there. And we'll make sure that food's left. And we'll put a knife to our throats, all right, so that you can make your way over as well. I was taken with one little thought of John's testimony. And if I picked him up right, and I'm sure I did, he said he got saved the first time he heard the gospel. The first time. And he came from Donegal Avenue. And all those years up until 19, never heard the gospel. And it was the first time he was introduced to Christ, he received Christ. And I thought of some in this house, some listening on the internet, and how many times you have heard the gospel. How many times you have heard about heaven, how to get there through faith in Christ. And about hell, how to escape the judgment of hell, repentance and faith. You've been exhorted night after night, week after week, mission after mission. Personal witness, little booklets, explaining God's way of salvation. That you must come to Christ who suffered, bled, died, rose again from the dead. And yet, how many times have you heard? And yet you haven't responded. And there hasn't been, as we heard our brother mention, that definitive moment, that specific time in your life and experience when you were changed by the grace of God, you were saved. Yeah. And you know, there is a wonderful change. A wonderful change. I sat and I noted in my Bible, I haven't it with me, it's here behind me, but I wrote into my Bible the change there would be in your life tonight if you came to Christ. There'd be a change in regard to sin. No longer do you run after it, you run away from it. That's a sure sign you've repented, turned your back on it. There'll be a change in regard to Scripture. The Bible's a closed book to those that are lost. When you get saved, your eyes are opened. John mentioned it, didn't he? He just got a Bible. That's the first thing he did, to feed his soul. You mightn't understand the book of Revelation or the book of Ezekiel. Who does? But I'll tell you this, you'll see Christ in all of the Scripture. There's a change in regard to supplication. What is prayer for an unsaved man or woman? I'll tell you what it is. Just as John did when he was 19, he wasn't saved. It's a shot in the dark. He even used the words and marked it. If you're there. If. And prayer for the unconverted is a shot in the dark. You only use prayer whenever you're in trouble. When you're saved, there'll be a change. You'll begin to pray. Said of Paul when he was saved, behold, he prayeth. That's a strange thing because he was a Pharisee. He prayed three times a day publicly and everybody knew. In fact, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He even was outdoing his fellow Pharisees. And yet when he got saved, that's the only time the Bible says, behold, he prayeth. It's the native breath of the believer. A child of God should be at the prayer meeting if they can get to it, or at least one prayer meeting in the week. Furthermore, there's a change, isn't there? In regard to the saints, I don't mean the saints that the Roman Catholic Church have. I mean believers that are set apart from God. Your company will be the people of God. Amen. You can't say you're saved and run with the ungodly. Can't say you're saved and say, well, I don't go to church, or I don't go to the prayer meeting, I don't go to any meetings. I just run to the nightclub, I just run to the pleasure crazes of this world and those places. I want to tell you there'll be a wonderful change. There'll be a change in regard to Satan. The devil leaves you alone. Did you know that? Did you know that, unsaved person? The devil leaves you alone. Do you know why? Why would he want to make life uncomfortable for you when you're on your merry road to hell? Why would he want to bring trouble into your life that might make you think, as John's mother did, about your soul? Why would he bring problems into your life that you might turn to the Lord? He'll make life as comfortable as possible for the unsaved. You know what he will do? He'll send you to hell on a cruise ship. That's what he'll do. And he'll try to make seas peaceful for you to sail to the shores of eternity and drop into hell. But the moment you're saved, if you didn't believe in a devil, you'll believe then. He'll never leave you alone. He'll attack you. He'll tell you you're not saved. He'll tell you how bad you are. He'll tell you that the Lord doesn't love you. He'll tell you all those things. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. You know the greatest change? A change in regard to the Savior. You thought little of Christ. When you're saved, I want to tell you, he's the altogether lovely one. He's everything. Talk to our brother John. When he got saved, what did he do? He grew in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. And then 8 years ago, he dedicated his life to who? Christ. To serve him. And then he said, when I get to heaven, I want to hear Christ say, well done, good and faithful servant. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Now, tell me as we finish. Has that change happened in your life? Can you truthfully say, yes, I'm changed by the grace of God? Have you seen none of those marks? And we don't believe in a tick box religion, by the way. Have you seen none of those marks in your life now, right now? And you should ask yourself the question, have I ever been saved? Do I actually know the Lord? Make sure you do. Don't leave this house tonight without